proceed to item number 13.
And we're waiting for the AV person so we can project the presentation on.
I knew that we were coming back at 1:30, right?
Right.
Nothing here.
It was.
Ah, go. Now we can.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
We're good to go now.
All right. So shall I?
Yes, Mr. Briggs, item number 13.
Item number 13 is our triennial review that we do every 5 years. I want to see if anyone's paying attention.
We heard
John explain that it's going to be a joke, so everybody's prepared.
Okay. Mary was talking about last time, we have been a little tardy on some of these items, like the 303D listing as well as the triennial review. But we do have it in front of you today, and so presenting today's report for you is the author of the report, Steve Size. Steve, welcome.
Thank you, Roger. Good afternoon, Vice Chair Jeffries and board members. As Roger said, my name is Steve Size. I'm an environmental scientist with the Regional Water Board staff. And today I'm going to talk about the 2009 triennial review of the basin plan. A quick overview of what I'm going to present today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the basin plan itself, the triennial review process that we used this year, a little bit about the evaluation of the issues and the prioritization of the issues that we used, and the resolution that we are presenting before you today. The Central Coast Water Quality Control Plan, also known as Basin Plan, was first adopted in 1975, is periodically revised, and the opening paragraph of the Basin Plan gives the stated objective of the Basin Plan, which is to show how waters in the region should be managed to provide the highest water quality reasonably possible. And this is an important sentence because the Basin Plan provides the basis for most of our enforcement actions, most of our planning actions, and is critical for the mandates that we have to fulfill at the Regional Water Board. Quick overview of some of the parts of the basin plan. The basin plan designates beneficial uses for waters within the region, and these waters, the beneficial uses are also associated with either numeric or narrative water quality objectives, and those objectives are to ensure the reasonable protection of beneficial uses and the prevention of nuisance. Basin plan also includes an implementation program for achieving those water quality objectives and a description of the surveillance and monitoring that is required to determine compliance with the objectives. Now, why are we reviewing the basin plan? Essentially, we want to improve the basin plan continually. And those parts of the basin plan, especially the beneficial uses, water quality objectives, and implementation strategies. This review helps our regional board and the staff to establish our highest priorities that may result in future basin plan amendments. In addition, we have some statutory requirements to review the basin plan. The Federal Clean Water Act, Section 303C, requires the states to review water quality standards every 3 years. In addition, Water Code Section 13240 requires basin plans to be periodically reviewed and may be revised. And as you can see, the last triennial review was in 2005, so we're due. This is a brief synopsis of the process that we used in the current triennial review of the basin plan. We began this process in last fall of 2008. We developed a brief issue description document which contained a narrative of each issue that we wanted to bring forward today. And what I mean by issue is any part of the basin plan that we felt needed improvement and could lead to a later project by the staff. We had a 45-day public comment period, which also included a public workshop to receive verbal comments. And we reviewed the issues, established a prioritization scheme or methodology, and before you today is the resolution for the triennial review and the associated priority list of issues. Once the board approves that priority list, that will lead to future staff projects to work on some aspect of changing or editing the basin plan. And I wanted to...
Could I ask you a question?
Sure.
Just a quick one. This is sort of a general question, but, often we see when these processes are ongoing, one of the elements is a public workshop. Could you just give me an idea of where did it take place and how was it noticed?
Okay, at the beginning of the public comment period,
uh-huh.
It was in the beginning of April, we noticed it, 30-day notice, and the workshop was held at our regular San Luis Obispo hearing room.
Okay. Is that usually where the workshops are held?
I think in the past we've never had this region board has not had a public workshop associated with a triennial review, but Roger may know more.
Certainly had lots of workshops with other items. They are frequently in our office, but we've had workshops up and down the region. You might recall with, for example, the last round of the ag regulatory program, we actually had three board-level workshops. So it depends on what the issue is. In this case, this is a region-wide issue, and San Luis Obispo isn't exactly centrally located, but not too bad as far as that goes.
I was just curious.
Yeah. Yes, Dr. Hunter.
I had the same kind of thought, and keep in mind all the accolades from the morning, because this was the one where I looked at it and I said, gosh, triennial basin plan review, and we have 6 comments. And I was a little bit surprised. So I wondered, too, about outreach, and I wondered also about geographic constraints. And, here's another reason for web-based participation, possibly. I mean, I was really disappointed with this response because this is a major opportunity, and we have so many issues where we get a room full of people related to a basin plan amendment, but when it comes open to the time when we can really, look at it comprehensively, there's no one paying attention. So I don't know what the reason for that is.
Well, one thing that we did to try to increase public participation was to have this the triennial review workshop on the same day. It was actually the afternoon session, the same day as the 303D listing and integrated report. So we figured out those people would be there in the morning, and hopefully they would stay for the afternoon session. So we noticed it concurrently. Actually, it was one notice, I think. It's all in one notice. And we originally intended to have a northern and a southern workshop, but somehow that fizzled out, and we ended up having it only at the San Luis Obispo office.
Also, it's not really characterizing it correctly to say 6 commenters.
No, I'll get into that later.
Okay.
There were more comments.
Right.
This entire process is documented in the technical report that we wrote, which is attachment 2 to your agenda item package, which contains a summary of all the comments, all the responses to comments, and the prioritization methodology that we used, and the ultimate recommended priority list. We evaluated a total of 21 issues, and that includes two issues that we received as a result of public comment that we added to the list. And those were the two new issues were what you heard a little bit about this morning, public comment that I received via Mary through the 303D listing comments. She sent all those requests for a reevaluation of the beneficial uses for local areas that we received from lots of the cities. So I included that as a new issue for this trying to review. Also, we had a comment from the city and county of Santa Barbara to implement some kind of language in the basin plan for conducting TMDLs at beaches for bacteria. So from that total list of 21 issues, we went through a prioritization process, and we came up with 13 issues for this recommended priority list. I wanted to describe a little bit about the criteria that we used to evaluate the issues. We had four criteria, and we gave a numeric score to each of these, 1 through 5, and then we summed up the total score to help us with our prioritization of the issues. And I just wanted to go through each of these briefly. First criterion was to ensure healthy watersheds, and what we meant by this was, does the issue align with the Central Coast Water Board's vision of healthy watersheds and the associated measurable goals of the vision? Water quality standards improvement, what we meant by that was, will the issue improve water quality standards either through a revised beneficial use or through a new or revised water quality standards or objectives? The effectiveness, we asked, will the issue advance water quality protection by improving the clarity, consistency, and coordination by staff and the programs within the regional board? And finally, the public interest, is there a high perceived public interest? So using that evaluation methodology, this is the first of two slides that show the 13 high priority issues that we have developed, and these are in order of priority 1 through 6, and then the next slide will show the remainder. These first six issues I've separated out on one slide because these are the issues that we believe we can accomplish within the next 3 years given the current level of funding. And I'm going to give a little more detail on these first six issues in a subsequent slide. This is the remainder of the issues, priority 7 to 13, and these are issues that we feel that we would require increased funding to accomplish within the next 3 years. A little bit more about our vision framework language issue, which we've given the number one priority. This issue would formally incorporate the Central Coast Water Board's vision of healthy watersheds into the basin plan. It would probably be in the implementation section of the basin plan. And this would also incorporate the measurable goals that we've identified in the past and methods for tracking progress to achieve those measurable goals. And I just want to remind the board and the audience that each of these issues, as we're describing issues, there's many details yet to be worked out. These are conceptual ideas, but staff is making progress on some of them already. But the actual issue will be further developed, brought to the board, and go through the entire basin planning process. The next issue is the biostimulatory substances objective revision. And as you know, there is a narrative biostimulatory substances objective in the basin plan currently. And this issue would further develop that issue, it would either add a numeric standard instead of or augment the existing narrative. And in conjunction with this issue would be developing some water quality objectives specific to nutrients or nutrient loading parameters, such as ammonia, nitrate, organic nitrogen, phosphate, chlorophyll A. And also there are some water quality objectives that are narratives right now in the basin plan, and we may need to revise those objectives associated with this issue, and those would be dissolved oxygen, temperature, turbidity, and pH. This issue further may include the numeric nutrient endpoint criterion that Mary discussed earlier for the nitrate.
Steve, I understand that there has been one workshop done on this particular issue, and it seems like this is really cross-cutting. No? Not one workshop? Okay. This seems like it's going to be a cross-cutting issue across all of the programs, and I would really urge staff to add a specific workshop on this issue that you really get, you know, ag and urban and get the word out to those folks, because I think the changes that will result from this effort are going to be pretty substantial.
Yes. And this issue was also on the previous priority list from the 2005 Trina review, and it was a high priority issue then. And we have since then made progress. The next issue is aquatic life protection, and this issue would adopt numeric water quality objectives for several existing narrative objectives in the basin plan, and those would include the turbidity water quality objective and toxicity water quality objective, which are both now narrative objectives. Next is the groundwater protection issue. Watershed protection issue. And this would be consistent with our vision of healthy watersheds. It would amend the implementation chapter of the basin plan to require local municipalities with land use authority to incorporate some type of performance measures in their land use decisions that will ensure healthy watersheds. Next is the groundwater recharge area protection. Also, this would be consistent with our vision of healthy watersheds. It would develop land use guidelines and or prohibitions for the purpose of protecting groundwater recharge areas within the Central Coast region. Also included in this may be the further development of a nitrate water quality objective to protect groundwater recharge areas. And the last of the six high priority issues is the aquatic habitat protection, riparian buffer zone protections. And again, this would be consistent with the vision of healthy watersheds. It would amend the implementation chapter of the basin plan to ensure protection of aquatic life and riparian areas. We have been following the efforts of the State Water Board and some of the other regional water boards in this area. And we would certainly build on those efforts. The State Water Board has committed to having a wetlands and riparian policy plan out by the end of the year. So that will help us in this regard to this issue. A brief summary of the public comments that we received. We received 12 comment letters, and we summarized the comments at the workshop for a total of 30 comments. Most of these comments were supportive of most of the issues. As I mentioned earlier, we had several request letters from municipalities to reevaluate the currently assigned designated uses. Well, essentially they said they request that these beneficial uses be de-designated. And we had some issues with mixed support, and that was the biostimulatory substance issue, the aquatic life and habitat protections, and the tributary rule issue. We received one late comment that was after our public comment period, which is a supplemental sheet that you have from the Grower Shipper Association of San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. And again, the technical report shows all the comments and responses, and the supplemental sheet contains responses to the last letter that we received. So staff recommends adopting the resolution, which will complete the 2009 triennial review and approve the priority list of issues to be evaluated as future basin plan amendments. And I'll be happy to answer any questions or comments.
Board have any questions for the staff on this at this time? If not, Mr. Shellcross.
Just a quick point of clarification. On this, I don't know what it's called. It doesn't even have a page number. It's this thing that's in the back of the white pages.
Summary.
It's the summary of
comments and comments. The responses.
Yeah. So I'm looking at this, and so I look at the comment, and then I look to see what the response is, and it says, in every one of them, it says, see issue response in main report issue 2, and I could never find where any of these were. What's the main report? Is that, because all I have is a one-page blue sheet, so there's nothing there. So what's the main report?
It would be attachment 2 is the technical report, and that's where those, I think you're looking at the appendix of the technical report. The appendix was a complete list of all the comments we received. And what we did is when we received like comments, we, in the main body of the technical report, that's where we answered the question.
So the main report is the technical report?
Yeah, it would be attachment 2 to the item.
Attachment 2. Oh. Is this it? Okay.
In the main body of that report are each of the issues, a summary of the comments and who made the comments, and then we address our response in the main body of the report.
Steve, I'm looking for the tributary issues, and I know it's here, but what number is it?
Oh, I see.
14.
Number 14. Thank you.
Any other questions of staff?
Okay, got it.
That goes, for example, the tributary rules, page 23, 24, 25.
Yeah.
Are we good for now?
Yeah.
Okay. Has the staff finished their presentation?
Yes.
And I'll go to the cards. Is Tracy Roberts, is she back yet? I don't see her. I'll hold that. Kay Mercer, is she back? Mr. Quantcut? Quant? Back? Now we're going to go through this in a hurry. Mr. Deitch, is he here?
Maybe they're all together.
Mr. Babatola, is he here?
Nope.
That's all the cards we have.
Ready?
Steve, did you have a card? Ian?
Oh,
yeah, I know you have a card, but did you want to speak to this? You want to comment to this? You can submit your card afterwards.
I thought maybe it was something I said.
No, he
I gave him. I'll be very quick. I'm very supportive of
basically what you're trying to do. Especially I'm supportive of, again, the aquatic life, which I have, and the riparian buffer zone issue, which is going to cut across several of your kind of work areas. It's going to cut across the ag waiver. It's going to cut across just many things that you do. And so I'm very supportive of the approach that you're taking, and look forward to further work on this. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
What do we do? Those people are not here. I think so. Okay, so I'll bring it back to staff, Mr. Briggs.
Well, I think we've answered all the questions to the best of our ability, and that translates into no changes, right?
Okay.
So we'd recommend approval.
I move to approve.
A motion and a second to approve. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Opposed? Hearing the motion's carried.